Now, I'd like to just say this about asking for prayer. Sometimes it's hard to ask for prayer. Sometimes it's hard because you're opening yourself up. But oh, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more powerful than when God's people begin to join together in prayer. And we need to do that. And so when you have a need, you know, please let us know. Let your church family know. We are a family. And we're here for one another. And if we're not, then we're not doing what God intended us to do. So I appreciate your praying for Alicia and for Clinton in that moment. Let me just encourage you to continue. You know, don't just take this one moment, but let's continue to pray. And let's continue to ask God to work here and to meet this need. And we know He's able. We don't know His plan. We don't know what will come, but we know He's able. Well, let's take our Bibles. If you would, turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We've already been in a portion of this Scripture this morning, the first part of it. We're going to look beginning in verse 11. And we want to notice particularly, Moses is giving the people of God a challenge, and it is a call to follow, to be focused on the Lord. And, you know, they had a lot of distractions. They had a lot of things that would hinder that. Sometimes they didn't have food to eat or water to drink. Sometimes they had enemies that rose up against them. Sometimes they went through various kinds of struggles. Well, folks, guess what? Not much has changed. We have a lot of distractions today. We're getting ready to start a brand new year. Y'all ready? Let me just ask you very quickly, just a little informal polling here. How many of you accomplished everything you wanted to do last year or this year, 2015? You got it all done. Everything is okay. I don't see a hand. I was only waving my hand to indicate what sign you should. I don't think any of us have, you know, spiritually speaking, I don't think any of us would say, man, I killed it this year. Absolutely nailed it. You know, I don't think any of us would say that. But guess what? God gives us brand new opportunities. His mercies and His grace are there for us. They're brand new every morning. And so I want to encourage you, don't wallow in the defeat of yesterday. Don't despair over things that have happened or haven't happened. But instead, turn those over to the Lord, trust Him with them, and begin to look forward to what God has for you in this coming week, in this coming month, in this coming year. Because God has some things He wants to do in our lives, and we need that. We need Him. So we're going to look at this morning, chapter 30 and verse 11. And we're going to read through verse 20. So if you've found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Let's bow together. Father, thank You so much for the Word of God. Lord, today we pray You would exalt Your Word in our hearts and in our minds. Help us to hear Your voice. And Father, I just pray You would hide me behind the cross of Jesus. And Lord, draw every single one of us to Christ this morning. And Father, I thank You for every person in this room. Bless each one. Speak to every heart. And draw them and do a great work in their heart this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we think about this, Moses gives to his people here a word as he begins this part of what he gave them. As we begin to read and to see it, this command is not hidden from you. You know, it's one thing when you don't know. You say, well, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. Now, I learned in business law that ignorance of the law is no excuse. Won't stand up in court. But the Bible gives us very plainly this word that God has given to us, this command that God has given to us, this job, this task that God has given to us, it is not something that's far off. We're not going to have to search and seek and hunt and spend all this time trying to figure out what God wants us to do. It's right here. It's right here in front of us, and frankly, we know what we're supposed to do. I think every person in this room, I think you know, in your heart of hearts, you know what you need to do. You know what God wants to do, what He wants you to do, you know, in the coming days. Well, I want to encourage you and push you a little bit to embrace this challenge that Moses lays down for us here. Because the Word has been given to us. The Bible says it's in your mouth. It's in your heart. We know. I mean, there's a part of us, even apart from the Word of God, there's a part of us way down deep inside that we know what is right and we know what's wrong. And when we sin, when we do things that aren't right, there's something within us that says, not good. And folks, I mean, think about it. That's the kind of world. I mean, I know we've had people who want the idea of just being totally free to live life however you want, with whomever you want, to do whatever you choose, and that all sounds nice. But let's just suppose that everybody in your neighborhood moves out. Everybody. All the neighbors you've had, they're all gone. And then new neighbors start moving in. And you get all these new neighbors moving in. But then you notice something different about them. You begin to notice that they don't seem to have the same moral compass that you do. They don't seem to, you know, care about things like you do. You begin to notice, I've got some things missing off of my carport out there. Got some tools. What happened to those? You begin to discover that these people who are all around you, they don't have the same thought process about things, and they're just living their life the way they want to live it. Well, I want to tell you, when you get with these people who believe in moral relativism, basically where they say, well, you can just live your life however you want to live it, and whatever you want to do, you know, you find your own truth, and that's, if it works for you, then that's great. That's fine till you go and start stealing some tools off of their carport. That's fine till you break into their house and steal their big screen TV and their laptops and their devices and all their stuff. And suddenly they're all up in arms. Oh, what are you doing? Man, this is my truth. I'm just living my dream, man. This is just, you know. And suddenly they become very inconsistent in what they've been preaching. They don't see it the same way. Well, folks, the Word is nigh thee. The Word is in thy mouth. The Word is in your heart. Folks, we have the Word of God. We know what's right, both within our heart and in our hand. We've got the truth of God right here in front of us. Black and white. Or monochrome or color or whatever your display is. You know, we've got the Word of God. We've got what we need. It's not complicated, really. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, all of these are commands of God. And they've been given. It's not hard. We're to honor the Lord. We're to seek Him. We're to obey Him. But notice the setting that Moses gives us here for this command. Notice verse 15. He said, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. He said, I'm giving you an option here. We have door number one. We have door number two. Now, which one do you want? Behind door number one, we have life and peace and good things. Over here, behind door number two, we've got death and evil and suffering and pain and horrible things. Which one do you want? I know, you're looking at me like, oh, Brother Tim. Do we look like we have idiot across our forehead? Well, no. No. But I'll be honest with you, sometimes we can all act like idiots. We can all get caught up in our flesh and we can all make some choices that are wrong and that are frankly death and evil. And so I want to encourage you. Look at verse 16. He says, I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. Now, it's interesting that God commands us to love Him. Woman? Check this out. Okay, maybe I better leave that alone. I command you. Well, Caleb, it doesn't really work that way. That's just not, you know, how we function. We don't command love from other people. But God commands us to love Him. But we love Him because why? Because He first loved us. He has already done this thing within us to help us to understand and to help us to do this in return. But without His love, we couldn't love Him. But because He's loved us with that kind of love, He's poured out His life blood for us. He gave Himself at the cross for us. He gave all for us. So when He commands us to love Him, should it be a chore? Should it be a really hard thing to love Him? No. No. We have some Bible reading plan booklets, and I want to encourage you to grab one of these. Some of you already have, but I've got some more here, and we'll make more as needed. But I want to encourage you to get one of these. If you don't have a plan for reading your Bible, you need a plan. Okay? You need a plan. If you don't have a plan for reading your Bible, let me tell you what you have. You have a plan to spiritually struggle and fail. That's what you have. I mean, you've got a plan. But some of you need a better plan than what you had. Now, this is not a perfect plan. If you've got something that's working for you, and it's good, and it's helping you, and it's what you, that's fine. I'm not, you know, telling you you've got to do this, but if you don't have a plan, I mean, there's something in here that everybody can do. Okay? And if you follow this plan, it'll take you through the entire Bible in the year 2016. It'll take you through the entire Bible. How many of you read your you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have read the Bible through? I mean, some of you have. Some maybe haven't. Well, if you haven't, I want to encourage you. That's something that we all need to do. As Christians, we need the entire counsel of God's Word. But, you know, if you pick it up and you say, well, I don't know, preacher, I'm kind of new at this thing and I'm not sure. Well, then you can start with the New Testament reading right there in the first column. And you can read that part every single day. It'll take you through the entire New Testament in 1 year. It'll take you through the Gospels twice. I mean, that's a better plan than what some of you have had, honestly. Okay? I want to encourage you to do something to begin to take in the Word of God, to begin to internalize it, to begin to put it into your heart on a daily basis. Do you ever see those commercials on TV, the gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching ones showing children who are starving to death in various places around the world and their abdomens are distended and they're just, it's awful to see and it's horrifying and it's just, but you know what? We've got some Christians. We've got some Christian people. And on the outside, they look pretty normal. But on the inside, they are a skeleton of what they could be and should be. And if you don't eat, if you don't nourish your soul and your spirit, you will grow weak. You will lose heart. You will get kicked around by the world. You'll get defeated by your own flesh. The enemy will have a big time with you. You need to feed your soul and your spirit. You need to take in the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to find a way to do it. Well, here's one way. I mean, there's a thousand ways to do it. You can pick it up and start reading. Cover to cover. I've done that. That's fine. It works. It's good. Here's a plan. There's a lot of ways to do it. And I just want to encourage you to do whatever you need to do. But if you don't have a plan, pick one of these up and say, here we go. I want to make some progress. I want to grow a little bit here. I'm not happy with where I'm at. You know, I think as Christians, I think sometimes we are totally too satisfied with where we are. Now, you know, I think we need to be content with the Lord, but I think we need to be discontented sometimes with ourselves, with where we are spiritually. And there's some of you, I've seen you grow this past year. I've seen some awesome things in some of you. And it's exciting. It's neat as a pastor. It's awesome to see that. But I've also seen some that I haven't really seen anything from. And maybe there's just, you know, wonderful, deep, rich, spiritual currents flowing down below the surface. And, you know, and I just don't even know it. I hope that's true. But, folks, I want to encourage you. God's got some things for you. God's got some awesome things for you. And so I want to, you know, if you need a plan, pick this up. It'll take you through the entire Bible in 1 year. It'll take you through the Gospels twice, and it'll take you through Psalms and Proverbs twice. So you actually read more than your Bible in 1 year if you do the whole thing. But however you choose to do it, that's fine. And there's some good practical tips on how to do it and ways to keep it up and keep going with it. But look, Moses says, I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways. How are you going to know the ways of God? Well, my Sunday school teacher one time when I was six told, well, that's good, but y'all, you need a word from God every day. You can't live on what your preacher comes up with on Sunday. That's not enough, Marshall. You need the Word of God in your heart and your mind and your life every single day. Well, I don't eat much through the week. I just kind of binge on Sundays. Folks, that's not healthy. And I promise you, you won't get as much on Sundays as you could. If you were eating all week long, you could really binge on Sundays. you could really get a lot more. Well, I want to encourage you in that. So much of this is just, it's just heart, it's just desire, it's just attitude, it's just wanting it. He says, I command thee to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless us. I'm not a prosperity gospel person or preacher, but I do believe God wants to bless us. I do believe that. Sometimes it's material things. Sometimes it's spiritual things. You know, material's the least of it, really. You know, money and all that is the least of it. But God wants to bless His people. He will bless His people. But then notice verse 17. There's a warning here. He says, but if thine heart turn away. Now, may I suggest to you, some of you are sitting there and you're kind of miserable because you know you've got some things in your heart that shouldn't be. You've got a sin problem. But let me just say to you, what you have is not so much a sin problem as you have a heart problem. You have a love problem. Hello? If you're allowing sin in your heart, in your life, if you're fostering or allowing an attitude of envy or disrespect or hatred or bitterness or greed or whatever it is, lust, whatever it may be, folks, what you have is a love problem. You don't love Jesus enough. If your heart turn away so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce unto you this day, you shall surely perish. Well, look, you know, it's possible for us, even as the people of God, it's possible for us to get caught up in the things of this life, the things of the world. It's interesting to see where we are as a culture. Went to the movies yesterday and saw some movie. And maybe you can imagine what it was. But anyway, you know, watch the previews for all the movies that are upcoming. And I think 3 out of the 4 were about superheroes and gods. I mean, the world is just caught up with this whole idea. They want there to be someone who is bigger than life, who's stronger, who's more powerful, who's able to help out in all these problems and take care of all these things. They really want that. And so they come up with Captain America, and they come up with Iron Man, and they come up with all these superheroes. They've got all these things. But all they're doing is they're creating their own God in their own image. And we have a God who is mighty and who is a superpower. The superpower. The only superpower. And I'm not knocking that stuff. It can be just a fun, entertaining kind of thing if you understand truth. But if you don't have the truth in your life, if you don't have the truth of God's Word on a daily basis, that video game begins to eat up your mind. If you don't have the truth of God's Word in your life on a daily basis, that music you're pumping into your heart and your mind begins to eat at your soul. Whether it's country and Western, or whether it's rap, or whether it's pop, or whether it's metal, or whatever it is, that's not the issue. If you don't have the Word of God, all those things that you're hearing, those attitudes, and all those things that are coming at you at the workplace or in school or wherever you are on your ball team or whatever it is, all that stuff will begin to eat at you. And you need God's Word in your heart daily, replenishing your spirit, encouraging you, building you in your inner man. And I want to encourage you. Sometimes folks make a lot of resolutions and stuff for the new year. And it's not all bad. I mean, sometimes we need to do some of those things. But I want to encourage you. I was talking to a man the other day. And he said, here's what he said. He said, you know, my problem is that I know I need to do these things, but I'm just not willing to make a commitment. I'm just not willing to make a commitment. And I said, look, let's take out that word. And let's substitute another word. Instead of commitment, let's put surrender. Because commitment has this idea, well, I'm going to do something. I'm going to follow through. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to... And it's fatally flawed. Because guess what? We mess up. You pick up that Bible reading plan. You're all excited. And you think, all right, I'm going to read the Bible. This is going to be great. I'm going to... And then you start in there and then you miss a day. And then you miss another day. Oh, man, I'm behind. And then you miss another day. And you're... And after about a week or so, forget it. You see, you committed yourself to something. You can't do it. You can't do it. You need the power of God within you. And the only way that comes is when you surrender yourself to it. And you give yourself to it. God will do it in you. God will do it through you. God will do it for you, in a sense. When you surrender, when you say, okay, God, this can't be me because I already know what I can do. I already seen what results I get. I can't do this, God. And I need You. And I'll just be honest with you. I mean, look, we're at a place in our nation where I believe if we don't see some modern day Daniels raised up, some modern day men and women of God come to the surface, I don't think this nation survives. We need to be people who love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength. Oh, but the world is so diverting. Oh, but all of these things. And look, you know, it's not wrong to have entertainment. It's not wrong to do some of the things that, you know, are out there, as long as you understand that is not your life. Did you see what is your life here? Let's look at this. Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cling unto Him. Hold on to Him, for He is thy what? Life. Christ is your life. Your TV is not your life. Netflix is not your life. Your music is not your life. Spotify is not your life. Pandora is not your life. Marvel Comics is not your life. None of these things is your life. Your pension fund isn't your life. Your workplace, your career, your hobbies, your hunting and fishing or shopping or whatever it is you pour yourself into, that's not your life. Christ is your life. I want to encourage you today to get a hold of this. He is thy life and the length of thy days. What in the world does that mean? We know His days are without number. If He is the length of our days, our days are without number too. Our days might be numbered here. But old folks, God created you. Not for this life, not for this time, not for this world. He created you for eternity. He just got you in the warmer. He's got you warming up. He's got you getting ready. This is not the real thing. This is not the main event. This is just the get ready thing. This is just the thing that we go through because He's got something so much better that He's about to reveal. I want to encourage you, live for that. Don't shy away from that. There's nothing about that that should make us as Christians be afraid or fear. Well, it's all going to come down to we've been commanded to love the Lord our God, to walk in His ways, to obey Him. But folks, if you love Him with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, then it's not an imposition. It's not a chore. Some of you may relate, some of you may not, but some of you may relate to that moment when you first fell in love. I mean, when it hit you bad, you got it bad, and you were in love. I mean, you couldn't eat. You felt like you had butterflies in your stomach all the time. And you weren't happy if you weren't with that person. And if you weren't with that person, you were on the phone talking to that person. Okay, I said some of you would relate to this, and obviously some don't. But just don't give your wife that expression that you gave me about that. But anyway. You know, in that moment, when your love for that person is so sweet and it's so exciting. I mean, it's just, it's intoxicating. It's just unbelievable. In that moment, when your beloved says to you, "Hey, come give me a little kiss." And so, okay. Is that how it works? Is that how it goes? I think even the ones who don't relate to this illustration understand. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. I mean, when your beloved says that, you're ready. It's awesome. It's wonderful. When our God says, "Love me, love me." Okay, I gotta love God. Supposed to love God. Everything says love God. Okay, I'm gonna love God. No, that's not how it works. It is our joy. It is our delight. Except, you know, it's just like when you go to grandma's house, and I'm presuming your grandma's a wonderful cook, but you go to grandma's house and she lays out this spread. And she's got all this food. Unbeknownst to her, you've just consumed half of a 2-liter Mountain Dew and a big bag of Cool Ranch Doritos. And she comes and she begins to put that food on you. "Here, eat. Oh, this is your favorite. You love this." And you're looking at it like, "Ugh. Thanks, Grandma. Here, don't you want some more? Don't you want seconds? I mean, you know how grandmas are." And you love grandma's cooking, but you just filled up with a bunch of junk. You know why some of you haven't gotten anything from this morning's service? It's because you filled your heart and your mind and your soul with a bunch of junk this week. And you're so full of that crud, that stuff. You're so full of that you can't take in the things of God. It doesn't even taste good to you. It doesn't even feel good going down. It's not something you're really excited about and hungry for. It ought to be. It ought to be. And it's not just about staying away from the world and monitoring what you take in. That's part of it. But part of it is that you need to be feeding on the Word of God every single day. And when you do, it's like going to grandma's house when you come to church. Here, have a little bit. "Oh, yeah, I love it. Oh, this is awesome. This is so good. Can I have some more?" You know? That's the attitude we want. And I want to encourage you this morning. We can have that. Let's bow our heads. We're going to take a moment to pray. We're going to take a moment to ask God to help us to have a plan. And you can be, you know, you can be defeated. You can be all defeated if you choose to. But if you're a child of God, I'm going to tell you, we are co-heirs with Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Because it isn't about us, it's about Him. You can be all defeated, or you can be all cynical and jaded. Well, preacher, I've heard it all before. Yeah, I tried that once. You can have all that attitude going in your heart, your mind, or you can just be saying, oh God, I need more of You. Lord, You must increase and I must decrease. Because God, what I'm doing now isn't working. Where I'm at now, Lord, it isn't good. I need You. I need a plan. And I want to invite you this morning to begin to seek the Lord. I mean earnestly, honestly. I mean with a passion, with a hunger, to begin to seek God. Say, oh God, I need You. Lord, I'm struggling at work. I'm struggling at home. My parents, Lord, my children. God, my marriage. God, my in-laws. Lord, I have all these issues. I've got all this stuff happening. God, I need You. God, help me. And He will help you. He will meet you where you are. If you've sinned, He will forgive you. Confess it to Him. Ask Him. Ask for His help. Maybe you're here today and you've never followed Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to invite you this morning to open your heart to Him and trust Him. And if you need to be saved, I want to give you an opportunity in a moment as we stand. I'm just going to give you an opportunity to come and say, preacher, I need to be saved. Or maybe you've accepted Christ, but you've never shared that decision with others. You've never told anyone about it. You've not followed the Lord in baptism. I want to invite you this morning to come and follow the Lord openly. We'll talk about baptism, whatever. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian, but you're not walking with God the way you need to. I want to invite you, Christian, to go to Him. Go to Him. Maybe you're here and you know you're a Christian, but you need to be a part of this church family. I want to invite you to answer God's call there. Whatever it is that the Lord's speaking to you, you answer His call. Father, we're grateful this morning for Your Holy Spirit's presence. And Father, I pray that You would magnify and lift up and just exalt the name and the person of the Lord Jesus in our hearts and in our minds in this moment. And Father, I pray that You would rebuke the enemy from us. God, I pray You would bind Satan from being able to distract us or to deceive us or to in any way interfere with Your work here. And Father, I pray You would give us a freedom this morning to respond to You. And Lord, we need You. God, would You come? Would You pour out Yourself into us, Lord?